So, I know Easter's a week that we tend to get a lot more visitors, people who haven't been here on a regular basis. And so if you're here this morning and you haven't been for the last few weeks, welcome. We are glad you are here. We're in the middle of a sermon series where we're talking about heroes. And don't worry, I'm going to catch you up. I'm going to get you up to speed where we are. A couple weeks ago, we started talking about superheroes and just what it is to be a hero. And we first started looking at Spider-Man. And we know the age-old wisdom that Uncle Ben gave him. With great power comes great responsibility. And that's kind of the mantra of Spider-Man and many other heroes that we look at. They help other people because they have that great power. But I really liked how it was phrased in Spider-Man Homecoming. In that, they didn't give the tried and true, with great power comes great responsibility, but instead, when asked why he did what he did, Peter Parker said, when you're able to help, this is my summary, when you're able to help, but you don't, and then the bad things happen, they happen because of you. And we looked at Jesus' command to serve other people, to be a blessing to our community. And last week, we kind of dug into that a little bit more, and we started looking at the superhero Daredevil, Matt Murdock. He's blind, yet that's kind of his superpower. Because he is blind, he is able to see the world differently. He is able to perceive things that other people couldn't perceive. And we looked at the parable of the Good Samaritan and how the priest and the Levite, they passed by this injured man and they did nothing. But the Samaritan, he came upon that exact same scene. He saw the exact same thing that they saw, but he saw it differently, because he had compassionate eyes. And his compassionate eyes drove him to action. Because, I mean, that's kind of what heroes do, right? Heroes help people. That's like just at the core of what it means to be a hero. But is that all there is to being a hero? If you help people, does that automatically make you a hero? Or are there other qualities? Are there other characteristics that a hero must possess? I ask this because there are other characters in comic books and maybe in real life that they do good things. They help people, but they're not necessarily heroes. In fact, there are enough of them in comic books that they've kind of been given their own title of anti-hero. Characters like Deadpool or Venom, they would be fit in this category. So let's look at Venom, the Sony's movie Venom. If you haven't seen it, I mean, it earns its rating, so, you know, take precautions however you need to. But it's about this alien symbiote, and, I mean, in this movie, spoilers, sorry if you haven't seen it, he saves the world from a bunch of evil alien symbiote things. It's all nerd stuff. You guys don't have to care about it, but there's a point, okay? I mean, in this movie, if you had to say who is the hero, I mean, Venom was the good guy. He's the one who saved the day. But there are many things about Venom that maybe we wouldn't necessarily associate with a hero. For one, Venom kills a lot of people. That's not a good thing. And you can say, well, there are heroes that do that. And I mean, there are heroes that, you know, they get put in between a rock and a hard place and they can't save everybody. That's true, but I mean, Venom seems to relish in it. He, like, enjoys hurting people. But he did some good things. Does that make him a hero? I mean, why is it that Spider-Man does what he does? With great power comes great responsibility. He has the ability to help, and so he does. Why does Superman help people? I mean, he was raised by parents in Smallville, Kansas, and they taught him to look out for the little guy. And that's what they do. But there's more to being a hero than just helping people. And I want to look at some of the qualities that there are in a hero. And, I mean, we'll take Venom for a journey, and we'll see how does he stack up to these qualifications, these characteristics of being a hero. And the first quality is bravery, courage. Those who are willing to stand up in the face of danger. And, I mean, if we were to look at Our everyday examples? Police officers, firefighters, those who, when there is danger, when there is trouble, instead of running away, they run toward it. Those would be those who exhibit bravery. And I mean, Venom, this is a box that he would check. I mean, he's pretty brave. He faces danger that he doesn't necessarily have to. And he doesn't shy away from a fight. But there's more. A hero, besides being brave and courageous, a hero is also honest and has integrity. I mean, this would be, I mean, we don't typically think of them as heroes, but your banker who keeps track of your money, who helps you to plan for retirement, who doesn't steal your stuff, I mean, that's pretty heroic right there. And we have lots of examples, honest businessmen, those who, even when they have the chance to benefit themselves, they stay true to their word. They do what they said. They follow through on their promises. And this is an area that I don't think Venom really shines. He is not known for his integrity. He is not known for keeping his word. In fact, he's probably one that's going to stab you in the back at the first opportunity. He may do some good things, but he's not a good guy. And then we have helpfulness. I mean, heroes protect people, right? They aid people when they are down. It's more than just saving people from a burning building. Handing out food, caring for people's needs. I mean, we have teachers, we have doctors, those who help the down and out, those who help the lowest in society. I mean, if COVID taught us nothing, these people are important. They are the backbone of society. And we rely upon them more than we realize because of their helpfulness, because they seek to protect us. Venom, not so much. I mean, he might help some, but he kind of does it because not because of any moral obligation. And that leads us to the last one. A hero is selfless, and a hero sacrifices. I mean, this is the core of what Uncle Ben was telling Peter. When you have the power to do something, help others. Whether it's big or whether it's small, it's all about giving of yourself. If you look at all the heroes, Superman, Spider-Man, Captain America, they serve other people. They put the needs of other people above their own. That's what a hero does. That's who a hero is at their core. And Venom is not selfless. Venom is very much out for himself. And that's why he's an anti-hero. He does some good things. And I think many of us, we like to think that we're the good guy. We like to think that we're the hero. But I think many times we fall into that same category where we do some helpful things, but we don't check the other boxes. We're not honest. We're not helpful. We're not selfless. We do it to get something back on our own. But there are plenty of everyday heroes. We've named a few categories already. Police officers and firefighters, teachers, doctors, nurses, all of these people who give. They don't have to give. They don't have to help. But they sacrifice their own lives. They give their own time to help those who are in need. And if I were to guess, I would say most, if not many of them, they do it because that's what they saw. They saw someone else. They learned from the model of somebody else who was sacrificial, who was brave, who was honest. And if we follow that trail back long enough, what we're really doing is we are following the model of the greatest hero of all. And that hero is Jesus. This morning, I want to take some time and look at these qualities of a hero and compare them against Jesus. Because I believe that while we have many great heroes who have lived across time, Jesus is the greatest of them all. That while Jesus, just like other people, have covered all these qualities, and Jesus covered all these qualities, Jesus took it to a level beyond. what any person before or after has ever done. And so we're going to start. I mean, you'd think it's Easter. If we're going to look at the qualities of Jesus, if we're going to look at the stuff that he did, it's Easter. And our temptation is to jump to the end. But there's a lot more that Jesus did besides rising from the dead. And if we go back and look at all of Jesus' ministry, one of the first things that separates him as a hero was his radical teachings. Now, we don't think about it a lot today. We've gotten used to the teachings of Jesus. I mean, our society is built upon them. Many people will deny it, and they don't want to trace it back to Jesus, but the reality is, much of what we know today comes from early Christendom, which comes from Jesus. And the love and the compassion that he showed, and it comes back to what he taught us about God. Because I think we've lived this life, we've been in this era of teaching long enough that we forget how radical Jesus' teachings truly were. Back in the culture in which Jesus taught, this Jewish culture, they were born out of, I mean, the whole Old Testament and the law and the exile and a people who tried to rebuild their society after exile and again had another failed government before the Greeks and Romans took them over. They had this idea that they had failed over and over to reach God. They had failed over and over to have this relationship with God. And so what they needed to do was just double down. They needed to do the hard work. Put your nose to the grindstone. Just do the very best of the best of the best. And that was how you could have a relationship with God. I think many of us still think that way today. But Jesus taught something different. Jesus taught a different way. Jesus taught an easy way. I already said, our teachers, many times they don't get the credit they deserve. They are heroes. And I remember in high school algebra, I had a teacher by the name of Mr. Inman. And Mr. Inman, he was teaching a bunch of kids that didn't want to learn. And he was trying to teach us about quadratic equations. And I know some of you, it's bringing back traumatic memories, just even putting that up there and talking about this. And I'm sorry about that. But that's what we were experiencing. For months in this algebra class, we were going over these quadratic equations, and we were learning all the different ways to solve them. We were learning all the rules about them and why they were and how they were. And our homework for months had been page after page of just grueling calculations, trying to figure out the solutions to these quadratic equations. And so we come to class another day expecting just even more grueling work about these equations. But that day, Mr. Inman did something different. You see, he wrote up on the board a quadratic equation, much like you see. But then he started to explain and go through all the rules that we had already learned. And he began rearranging that equation based on those rules. And he explained every step of the way. Say, if we subtract c from both sides, and this c disappears, and we get a negative c over here. And, you know, if we want to get rid of our x squared, we got to take the square root of this side, and that takes the square root of that side. And he walked through, taking step by step on this board, figuring out and explaining all the rules, and as he went along, he got faster and faster, and he wrote faster and faster. As he came to the conclusion, he wrote the final strokes on the board, and he turned around. He said, and that gives us, and ripping open his shirt like Superman, he revealed the quadratic formula on his t-shirt underneath. That may not seem like very much to you guys, but after months of grueling effort in that class, this man was my hero. He had taken all the things that we had been taught, all the rules, all the structure, all the solutions, and he took the core components of that and he made it easy. He gave us what we needed to reach the goal. And you see, this is what Jesus did. We forget about it today because it's just, that's what the church preaches all the time. But the culture was, you have to do all this work. You have to stop doing this. You have to do this. You got to go through all these steps. If you want to get to God, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And Jesus said, you've been told that you need to put in all this hard work, that you need to put your nose to the grindstone, and you need to do all these hard things if you want to have a relationship with God. But I tell you, he said, but I tell you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. See, Jesus took that which was hard and he made it easy. It was so radical. You mean I don't have to go through all these steps? I don't have to hop through all these hoops? I don't need to just live the most mundane, boring life? See, as a pastor, I get asked questions about God all the time. I get asked questions about Christendom all the time. And one question that comes up over and over and over again is, Pastor, can I be a Christian and fill in the blank? It could be anything. Can I be a Christian and be gay? Can I be a Christian and drink alcohol? Can I be a Christian and believe in evolution? Can I be a Christian and have sex outside of marriage? And every single one of these questions, they miss the point. I mean, they're weighing on people's hearts, and so they're important questions, don't get me wrong. But they're all asking the same thing. What do I have to do? How good do I have to be? What hoops do I have to jump through? How hard do I have to work in order to earn salvation? And that completely misses the point. Jesus didn't come to make it hard. The radical teaching of Jesus was that Jesus made it easy. Jesus made it easy to come to God. And you don't have to jump through all these hoops. For a short answer to this question, can I be a Christian and fill in the blank? The short answer is yes, because it's not about keeping the rules. It's not about jumping through all these hoops. It's not about doing the right thing so that I can earn my salvation. That's not what it's about at all. Jesus made it easy and he made the way to come to God. It's not about how good you are. You can never be good enough. But I know there are some that would hear that statement and say, well, Pastor, you're condoning sin. You're saying that you can be as bad as you want and it doesn't matter. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you can just sin as much as you want. What I'm saying is you don't have to get your life in order to come to God. You don't have to figure out all your stuff before you come to God. God loves you exactly as you are. With all your baggage, with all your burdens, God wants you exactly as you are. And you can be a Christian. All it takes is receiving God's grace in your life. But the truth is, God doesn't leave us there. Because if we truly love Jesus, if we truly want to have that relationship with him, you can be a gay Christian. You can be an alcoholic Christian. You can be a rage-filled Christian. You can be a gossiping Christian. But God's not going to leave you there. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. If you truly believe that Jesus is the way, if you truly believe that Jesus loves you and gave his life for you, and you want to rely upon that truth, well, if he's right in that area, then your love for him is going to drive you to believe that he's right in many other areas. And as he has promised you life in abundance, there is more to this life than these worldly things that we choose to hold on to? Do you have to give them up? No, but as you get closer to Jesus, you want to give them up. You want to be closer to that holiness. You want to be more and more like Jesus. I've heard people say, God loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And that's the good news of Jesus. That's the radical teaching of Jesus, that you don't have to check all your boxes. You don't have to be perfect. You don't need to get all your ducks in a row in order to have a relationship with God. God is willing to work with you through all that. If you just come to him with all your sin and all your brokenness. That's why Jesus was a hero. Just like all of our teachers, he revealed the truth of life and he made it easy. But in addition, Jesus is the greatest hero of all because he served the needs of others. I mean, there are too many scriptures to go over to fit into the message this morning, but Mark chapter 8, Jesus calms the storm and he saves his disciples in the boat. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus heals the blind. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus heals the lame and the sick and the demon-possessed. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus provides food to thousands of people who are going to go hungry. Time and time again, you just flip through the Gospels and you see time and time again, Jesus serving the needs of other people. Jesus taking care of not just their spiritual needs, but their physical needs. I mean, that's what a hero does, right? A hero helps. A hero protects. A hero gives and serves. That's what we look for in our doctors, in our nurses, in our teachers. As parents, that's what we do. We give and we serve. We take other people's burdens and we carry them for them. I'm reminded of a scene in the movie Captain America, the First Avenger. And in that movie, scrawny little Steve Rogers is standing in formation with all of his company and a grenade is tossed in the middle of the group. And everyone begins scattering and running away, trying to save themselves. But Steve Rogers, he jumps on top of that grenade. He gives of himself. He sacrifices himself. It was a dummy grenade, but he was willing to put the needs of others over his own needs. And you see, that's exactly what Jesus did as well. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for your friends. You see, Jesus isn't just a hero because he had great teaching. He's not the greatest hero of all because he healed some people or he fed some people. He's not the greatest hero of all because he was brave in the face of a raging storm. Jesus is the greatest hero of all because he conquered death itself. In so doing, Jesus demonstrated through his death and resurrection that he is God. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus paid the price for our sins. And it's not like he just decided to do this at the end. You know, how can I really solidify my position? How can I really make my mark on history? No, this was the plan all along. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. What does that mean? I want you to think back for a moment. Think back upon your life. Think back on the bad times in your life. Those things that you've done, those things that you don't want to remember. Those things that maybe you hurt somebody. Maybe in anger you snapped at your friend. Maybe it was more than just words. Maybe you hurt somebody. Maybe you took something that didn't belong to you, and worse than that, you let someone else take the blame. You were not a hero. You weren't even an anti-hero. You were a villain. And it's those memories that you don't want to remember. You want to forget. And if you could go back in time and you could change it, you would change it and you would do something totally different, because those are the moments that bring you shame. Those are the moments when you don't like yourself. Those are the moments that sometimes you think, if people knew about these, if people knew that I did that, if people knew that I had these thoughts and these feelings, they wouldn't love me either. If people just knew, if people just saw. But the reality is, God did see. God sees it today, and God saw it before you ever did it. He knew what you were going to do, and yet He loved you anyway. And it's for that very reason that Jesus went to the cross. It says, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You see, when Jesus went to that cross, when Jesus took that punishment, it wasn't because He did anything wrong. It wasn't because He was atoning for all the bad things, all those dark secrets in His past. He didn't have any of those. As Jesus went to the cross, the burdens that He carried, they were yours. The reason He went to that cross was to pay the price for your sins. To pay the price for those memories you don't want to remember. For those times when you hated yourself. Jesus carried that to the cross. Jesus hung on that cross, beaten and bleeding, for you, to pay the price for what you had done, because you had gone astray, because you had not followed God, because you had hurt other people. Jesus took that to the cross. Jesus carried the burden that you could not carry, and Jesus paid the price that you could not pay, and He did it. Not because He had to. He did it because He loved you. This selfless act, He gave sacrificially of Himself so that you could live. And today, as those memories come back, as you're thinking of those things that you didn't want to think about, Jesus has already paid the price for those. And He wants to take those burdens from you, but you have to let them go. You have to let go of your shame and your guilt and turn it over to Jesus. Jesus is the greatest hero of all because He didn't just save a generation. He didn't just save a few people. He saved countless generations from the beginning of time. All people who have failed, all people who have struggled, Jesus made a way. Jesus bridged that gap. He paved a pathway toward God that we could have relationship with Him. And in His resurrection, He proved that there is life. And He offers that life to you and to me. For some of you, maybe you're hearing this for the first time. This idea that God loves you and that God wants to take all that shame and regret and all those burdens. Maybe this is old hat. Maybe you've heard this time and time again. And you can't even count the number of times you've heard it, but today it feels different. There's something else going on. There's that something moving deep inside of you. That it means something more today. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. That's God calling you to step out in faith, to finally let go, to finally surrender. You don't have to get your life together. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't need to straighten out your life. God loves you exactly as you are, and you can be a Christian if, as you come to Him today, just as you are. You can follow Jesus, and He will take those burdens. I said this earlier today, we have these altars up here, and they're, in our tradition, they're just a really good place to pray. We're going to close in one song. And you can stand, you can sit, you can sing, you can listen, whatever you need to do. But if God is calling you, if you feel that, if you've heard this message and these words and God's Spirit is working in you and there's that weight on your soul, Jesus wants to take that burden from you this morning. Jesus wants to carry it for you. He's already paid the price. All you have to do is let it go. So while we sing this song, I invite you, the altars are open. If you want to come and to kneel and to pray, I would invite you to do so. Sing with me this morning.
Better shake out the ground. Oh. of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake off the grounds of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better.
Jesus, you have expressed your great love for us, that while we were yet sinners, you died on our behalf. You took the punishment for what we had done. You paid the price for our sin, God, and you did it willingly, because of your love for us. God, as we celebrate your resurrection, as we celebrate Easter, God, may it not be just another holiday, another time when we get together with friends and family. But God, may the weight and the reality, the price that you paid because of those things that I wish I hadn't done, but I can't deny that I did. God, may we let go of those things. Let go of all the ideas that we have about who we are and what it means to be a Christian. God, may we just follow you. Surrendering what we have, letting go of our burdens, and allowing you to give us new life. And God, as we seek after you, may we be changed and transformed, be more and more like you each and every day. That we can share this hope that we have, this new life that we have in Jesus. That others too may be saved and that their lives may be transformed. God, go with us this day. And God, may you be the king over our souls and over our lives. God, we praise you and we thank you. We love you for all that you've done and all you're going to do. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. bless you guys. We serve a risen Lord. Go in his peace.